Well, we'll go to the calls right after John Anderson and Ken Parsons. I get your thoughts on Margaret McDonald's revelation. Now, she was a young girl living in Scotland in the 1800s and apparently had a revelation of the Second Coming. And, John, let's get your reaction to her, first of all. Was it a hoax? Was it made up? Or do you think it was real?
Okay, first of all, George, I just want to say thanks to you and your staff for allowing Ken and I to come on to discuss this. It is an important issue, and I commend you for having the willingness to do it, because too many people are afraid of it, okay?
That's all right. Thank you.
Now, to answer your question specifically, yes, Margaret McDonald, a 14-year-old girl, which we show in our Rapture DVD, we go through the entire history of this and show that she had a, quote, dream or vision that was said to have happened, by the way. Benjamin Norton was one there that was recorded. He was a contemporary of J.N. Darby. Darby picked up on this, and I have his entire prophetic writings, by the way, in my own library. In 1826, they started teaching this in the prophecy conferences. You see, no one believed in this futurist idea of a rapture prior to the 1830s. It's just, it's documented, it's factual, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this, whatever you want to call it, but people can have a lot of things, whether it could be bad pizza or whatever. But the idea is, J.N. Darby ran with this idea. And you see, what caused it to catch on, George, is the fact that it's much easier to not be responsible than it is to be responsible. So if I say to you, don't worry about it, George, you're going to be out of here any time now, as opposed to, George, you've got a job to do. You've got to be responsible and help make this place be, as Jesus said, the salt and light of the world. So, yes, this is where it came from. This is where it was propagated from, and it is picked up and is run now like the Left Behind series, 62 million and counting. But yet, the only last days, by the way, we're living in, George, is the last days of this dispensational Escobabble.
Okay, you want to react to the Margaret McDonald revelation, Ken, before we go to calls?
Well, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Also, I'd like to ask you, we keep going back to a fiction novel, which is really just a good book. I know a lot of people are just buying because it's a good book. But I'm just wondering, you know, if Billy Graham, when he wrote Approaching Hoofbeats, you know, if he was helping propagate this conspiracy in an effort just to increase funds. I just can't see that. And I also want just the people to know that you can have a personal relationship. You can have a quality life. You can live in confidence. If I'm wrong, you get a confident life, and you're an overcomer. But if I'm right, you wake up one day really, really, really surprised and open to a great deception, because many stories will be coming out as far as what actually happened. And the good thing is, God has still made provision. This may not happen for a few years. There's one school of thought that's not out of the question. It's common that a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. That we're actually on a literal week, which is 6,000 years, and then the 1,000-year millennial reign. But if that's the case, you know, it's only 5764, you know, according to that particular calendar, taking us to the year 6000. That leaves us 235 years. But the thing is, we don't lose hope. We go to work every day. We live like it's the last day, but we plan as though we're going to live to be 120. That's a responsible thing. And also to study for yourself. Just get in there and research these things. Research. There are records of the rapture being taught before then. The thing is, if we bring those up, we'll try to discredit those, and we're not going to gain anything like that. Quarreling about something, we weren't around back then. Of course, you know, hardly anybody's ever even heard of her. I wasn't around when the Bible was written, but again, it has stood the test of the ages. And again, that word will never pass away, even though heaven and earth will pass away, and we will get a new heaven and a new earth.
All right, let's go to the phones, and when you are on the line, please address the person that you'd like to ask your question to. First-time caller line, where are you calling from?
Charles from Virginia.
Hi, Charles, and your question for?
My question's for Ken or either guy.
All right.
Try
you first, Ken. Go ahead, Charles.
I'm curious when Cain was, after Cain killed Abel, where he was cast over into the land of Nod or another land there, who was those other people? It was in that land over there because he feared them.
There was, when God initially created this planet, there is an indeterminate period of time between verse 1 and verse 2 in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth is formless and void. And God was, His presence was upon the face of the deep. So the earth was in a state. What we're really looking at is a recreation of the earth over those, you know, particular days. Then, of course, He created a whole race. Adam and Eve began procreating. And we see the same words for repopulating there. When He explained to them to repopulate the earth, we see the same verbiage used when Noah and his family had gotten off the ark and they were given the same command. There, we don't know how long that was. What we do know is that they were procreating. There was a race of people. That's evident because, again, like you said, there was people out there all over. And they all knew who God was because he marked him so that when he went out there, nobody would kill him. They obviously were familiar with that mark. They knew there was God. They were familiar with him. That's why most of our languages and in most ancient scripts have some form of that name. And of course, we also see that when they committed the treason, and he said, I will increase the pain of childbearing. And what we're really seeing is the written lineage of the Messiah all through the Bible, which we see at the beginning. And Cain had killed Abel. Abel, it's my, again, I've learned much, but I still have a lot to learn, but it's my perception that he was the original intent for the line of the Messiah. And that was actually probably first, if you want to look at it this way, the first spiritual hit, the first murder. And that's, of course, when the seals began to be unsealed. Messiah, we would really have a long and an argumentative discussion over this, but at that point, Messiah was said before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain, and that's a teaching in itself. But in any event, that is my take, and that also explains the pre-Adamic civilization, a world that was here before then. That's why we find all kinds of ancient things with technology and the possibility that they may have destroyed themselves. We don't know. We don't know. And I'm not about to say that I know. I think that would be adding to the scripture, which is not right. And I don't want to do that.
Was there ever a time, John Anderson, that you would have thought, like an atheist, that perhaps there is no God at all?
There's never a time in my own personal life that I ever did not believe that there was a supreme being. I grew up in quite a Christian home, but I rejected Christianity in my early days simply because the standard answer I got, well, you must have faith or we'll all understand better in the sweet by and by. That's why I got in the occult in the early 70s, because I was looking for answers, and I was willing to go to whatever extremes I could to find those answers. No, for me, as I look at this, there's no such thing as an atheist. There are plenty of agnostics, but an atheist would have to be what he professes does not exist. He would have to know all things to say there is no God, so there's no such thing as an atheist. They are agnostics, and I give them that.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
I'm a longtime listener. I love your show.
Thank you.
I got a question for Mr. Anderson.
All right.
In Genesis, it says God created earth, and then he created light second. Why didn't he create light first so he could see what he was doing? And if God created the earth, there's no mention of dinosaur bones whatsoever. And they're in the Bible, but yet I know that there is dinosaur bones. Why is there no mention of dinosaurs being here before? If he totally created the earth, the dinosaur bones are beneath the earth. How do you explain that there's dinosaur bones?
All right, I'll let you listen on your radio. You want to handle those, John?
Well, first of all, he created the beast of the field, the fowl, the fish, etc., and so on. He didn't go into detail as far as size, nature, or character. First of all, he didn't mention mosquitoes, but they're obviously here. I mean,
unfortunately.
Unfortunately, they're here, you know. But the reality is, he didn't go into those details. So for me to try to go into those details, to me, would be ludicrous. There are certain questions the Bible simply does not answer. I leave those alone.
All right, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm from Stephenville, Texas.
Hi, Chris.
Howdy. And I guess my question's for the two gentlemen, and philosophies comes off those disciples who have been published. Now, the rumor has it that the Vatican has, I guess what you would say, prophecies or disciples who have, you know, that the Vatican has kept and hidden. And are those Is that rumor true, and is that something that's going to play a role in our future?
Well, neither one of you is Catholic, but who wants to handle it? Open question.
For me, I wouldn't have a clue because, first of all, by definition, it's hidden. So how could we know?
Ken Parson?
Yeah, the Vatican's like a vault. I'm just like John there. We agree again.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hello?
Yes, hello. I'd like to address Ken.
All right.
Yes, it is in the references of where you speak of the rapture. It's been, in my experience and what I've been shown, and when you read in that, it seems to be a question on if you read to a certain point and stop and make a conclusion, or if you read it all the way through in the sense in where it is spoken of that when Christ returns, we will be caught up. That rapture, that caught up, that's what rapture means. In a sense, it's not going to be in question when that event takes place because it's going to be as though the lightning strikes from the east to the west. The islands are going to disappear. The mountains will collapse. And the sky will roll up as a scroll. I mean, it is going to be such an awesome presence. Our Creator coming here.
Well, how about a question?
The question is, do you feel as though that it is a reference of not being caught up before, but there's just going to be a final second coming, as though, you know, he comes as a thief of in the night, meaning that it's going to be an unexpected time, and it's only going to be a one event happening.
All right, this is for you, Ken Parsons.
Okay. Well, first, thief of the night, we also have a reference later in Thessalonians. It says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. The other thing you said that you should keep reading, you're right, and that's for the individual. We should read. We should study to show ourselves approved. And then addressing the lightning from the east to the west, again, as I read this, and we all need to read it, and then, of course, ask God. He's there to help us. But it basically says that it would be that, first, that for his lightning that comes from the east is visible from the west, so the coming of the Son of Man. But then it also says where there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. It almost gives us a dual meaning that there will be a... I see the rapture there. I also have other places in Revelation in front of the throne. It's just a sea of glass that's empty. And then, of course, just not too long from then, all of a sudden it's full, you know, people from every tribe, language, and nation. But then it also makes a comment after the lightning comment that the sun is going to be darkened, the moon's not going to give its light, the stars are going to fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And we've not seen that. And then after that, then we see at that time the Son of the Man man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see. In other words, everybody will look upon him, everybody will see him. So I almost, and again, you know, how long does it take you to read a biography, maybe like of Harry Truman? You know, it's a big, thick biography. It was a good book. But again, I mean, it was supposed to be the entire span of his life. You can read the book in just a couple of weeks. So obviously what they're doing is they're pulling what they feel is the most important to communicate, but there's still a ton of stuff that we didn't know about it. I mean, in other words, literally if it contained everything in his life, it would have taken us that long to read the book, but it doesn't. So
I prefer
we have things
the movie.
Moving quickly. Thank you.
I prefer the movie with Gary Sinise.
Me too.
Let's
George,
go. Yeah.
Can I comment on that, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, very simple. First of all, the gentleman caller that is referring to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the word caught up, by the way, up is added by the translators. It's not part of the original. The word in the Greek, harpazo, simply means to seize by force from a root word dealing with the mind. Now, the error that is used, God being the master of words, if he wanted to say the word caught up into the air where the birds fly or the throne of God, he would have used the word ornos. He didn't. He chose to use the word air, A-E-R, the air that we breathe. Nothing about flying off planet Earth in any respect. We prove this in our DVD on the rapture emphatically with every passage. It does not exist.
Yeah, we have air to breathe on airplanes, too.
Yes.
Let's go to our wild card.
Word.
Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Colby out of Yakima. My question's for John.
Okay, Colby.
Hey, John, now, like I said, you know, if you take the Bible literally, everything, you know, everybody's got their own beliefs on things, you know. Now, me, I'm one of them Pentecostals that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I believe what, like I said, what Jesus said, you know, that when God, you know, that him and God had come into us and make his abode with us, and which he did. I you know, raise my hands one day and praise God, and something come into me and rolled. See, so now I know I believe that scripture, like I said, come true to me. But see, you know, everybody's got their own beliefs. I mean, look at all the religions we have, and everybody reads the Bible and to their own thing believes it the way they believe it. And you know, like I said, I'm a get off there, but you know, there's some of us that do believe that we're going to be caught up in the air because he's sending his reapers and he's going to separate his elect. And I'll leave it off the air and see what you have to say about that.
I don't think he changed your mind yet, John, did he?
Well, it's real simple, George. You know, a quarter of the population of the planet believe that Muhammad is the prophet of God, okay? Doesn't make him right, doesn't make him wrong from a belief. I mean, you can stand in a garage and call yourself a car, doesn't make you a car. It's what does the Bible actually teach in the original Hebrew and Greek? That's my whole point. Bottom line is this: Jesus Christ made an emphatic statement that no one seems to want to address. He said to his disciples, "You will hear of people saying the time is drawn near, believe them not." In other words, don't say the time is near until it is near. Now, they said the time was near. Now, if it was not near, then they became the false prophets themselves that Jesus warned them about.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, yeah, my name's Brian. I'm calling from Shasta Lake, California.
Go ahead, Brian.
I turned on this program expecting to hear a debate on the rapture, and Ken, my question is to you. The other person, I don't remember his name, has, you know, I think produced a good biblical refutation of the rapture, and I have not heard you, Ken, give, you know, any biblical evidence for it. I would like you to produce, you know, from the Bible, the greatest argument you have for the doctrine of the rapture?
Well, the greatest argument would be, as quickly as I can do it, the book of Revelation. I stand by that. I truly believe that that was written in 96. And I think that if anybody does some word searches and looks at the information that we have available to us and tries to kind of pull away from any revisionist history, that they're going to find that true. And then John said, of course it says in that book that he's going to talk about the things to come. He also made the comment, he said, "I was on the island of Patmos," meaning he wasn't anymore. He wrote the book then. And I also think that is what shows us why the Gospel of John is so dramatically different from the others. He had already had his vision, and that's why in the first the three letters of John, we also see that's the only place where we'll see a mention of Antichrist. And then the only thing I say is the caught up, I have snatching away from the Greek harpazo, but the Latin word is rapturo, which is where we get rapture. So it is in the Latin Vulgate, the word itself, rapture. And we have words today that we use, allegory was allegoria in the Latin, the word that he used to describe, you know, that philosophy, which, you know, it does have a good argument.
And welcome back. Before we go back to calls, Ken and John, why don't you make another statement about your position, just so those people who are just joining us can say, "Hey, I didn't know that." We'll go with you first, John Anderson.
Thank you, George. First of all, my position is real simple. As we prove in our DVD, The Rapture, Biblical Fact or Left Behind Fiction, nowhere does it even remotely teach that people are going to go off, flying off planet Earth. You see, the problem that Mr. Parsons' view holds and many of the other dear people out there, like the Left Behind series, is they refuse to accept the literal statements of the Bible. If John in Revelation said it was noon, soon, and at hand, and it wasn't, then he was one of the false prophets that Jesus warned him about. So you see, the point is, as a preterist, I came to understand that the Bible does teach that it was all fulfilled in the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 by God's words himself, period.
All right, you, Ken?
Well, see, I'm not a hunter, so if you put me in a deer stand, I tell you what, 5 minutes, it would seem like 10 hours. But if you took an avid hunter, put them in a deer stand, man, 10 hours, it's going to seem like 5 minutes. And to God, yeah, it would be a short time. But basically, I just want to say I've got two teenagers and I've got two grade schoolers. They're all still trying to figure me out. And I just want to say to everybody, if you can look at this, I don't want the fact that we are agreeing to disagree. He takes a position, I take a position, but we agree on the core the core things, those matters which are really the most important. And I don't, I'm just hoping that this people don't look at that and go, "Boy, I just don't know if I, want to even look at that if it means that they're going to be fighting." Because we don't fight. We truly believe our positions, and we'll argue them out, just like two lawyers, just like two people talking about the war in Iraq, just like two people talking about how they feel about their boss at work. And that, again, we're all going to know the answers one day. And we'll all be looking at each other saying, "Hey, you know what, you're right about this, and whoa, I can't believe that, you know, I missed that." And I just truly believe that in a trillion years, we're all still going to have a place. I just don't want to confuse existence and non-existence with life and death.
To the phones we go.
Thank you.
Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Joe. I'm calling you from Los Angeles.
Hey,
from
John.
Angeles.
Good to have you here.
I have a question. Very specifically, Ken, have you identified the Antichrist, number two? Would you suspect Lord Maitreya would be a good candidate for the Antichrist? And also, it speaks in the Bible that there's going to be soulless beings taking up heads of state or even the Vatican. Would you believe that a human being that is cloned would not have a divine soul from God, instead would be possessed by demonic forces?
Well, on the first, like the cloning, basically we see that the sons of God or the fallen angels had come down to earth and had relations with women, and they had an offspring that when they were wiped out in the flood, they still had an entity, an intelligence that was left here. It just really, since it wasn't something created by God, it really just had nowhere to go. And they utterly, at the end of the ultimate end of this new covenant, when we move into the millennial or after the millennial reign, that they'll actually be bound with who they serve, which is those dark powers. The other thing, Maitreya, he fits the bill in a lot of things. But I don't see where we will know for sure who that is until he is actually there. It would merely be speculative.
Well, will we know he is there when he is there?
Yeah, he'll let us know. Yeah, well, if you've studied to show yourself approved and you're familiar, sooner or later you just have to say, man, 20 years ago, before Israel, people said, Israel's going to be a nation. Israel's going to be, there's no way. America's the new Israel. Boom, Israel's a nation. The Europe is just a bunch of states always fighting with each other. They're always having wars with each other. What's the chances of them ever come together again? And boom, there they are. They even have the Western European Union, the 10 primary things, and we know that it's going to be a 10-nation federation. They call the shots, and that one man will rise out of that. My perception is, is that he'll actually come out of the European Union, but perhaps use the United Nations. I don't see the United Nations as being the world entity. I see the European Union being the world entity, but they might use that United Nations. It's going through all kinds of challenges right now. We started talking about how that was going to happen when they looked like they were at their most powerful back during the first Gulf War. But again, they're deteriorating, but they may be a vehicle that can be used by that entity. And the European Union is wanting to have their own representative at the United Nations.
All right, first-time caller line, you're up. Who's your question for, and where are you calling from?
This is Jeff. I'm calling from California.
Hey, Jeff.
This is for John. And, John, it's hard to take you seriously on a lot of the stuff you've been saying tonight, because you haven't been totally honest with the callers. You're saying that futurists, which I am one, you're saying that futurists are just are futurists. There's no scripture for our beliefs, and that it's just a new thing that came along in the 1800s. But I'm a futurist because of people like the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, reading their writings that go all the way back to the New Testament. You saying that we're just rehashing what other people have said recently, and that we have no scripture, but, the point could be made that you're just rehashing people like David Gentry and R.C. Sproul, Gary DeMar, Max King, these guys, these preterists. You're just rehashing what they're saying. Then you haven't been honest because you said there's no scripture for the rapture, anywhere that anybody could possibly use, but there are. Very well that there, 1 Corinthians 15:15-51, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, these are events that have not transpired yet. No matter, you can say what you want, but there has not been a bodily resurrection of the dead. And it just, you know, point after point can be made that you just haven't come totally clean and been totally honest with the people that there is a very definite and solid other point of view. Matthew 24:30.
How about a question, Jeff?
Is there,
okay.
Yeah, is there a question?
Matthew 24:30. It says that the whole world would see, all the tribes of the earth would mourn, and the whole world would see Christ when he returned. When did that happen?
Okay, first of all, as far as the quote rapture passages, a huge assumption is being made on your part. First of all, the Apostle Paul said we. There's that nagging personal pronoun, we, including himself, which are alive and remain. It was a first century event. Now, as far as the quote passages of the rapture, no. If you will take the time, and anyone else listening, to study the words and what is added by the translators and what is not, you will come to understand, no, the rapture is not taught. First of all, 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about resurrection, not rapture. If you look at Revelation 4:1, it's talking about John being caught up to get the revelation. It's not rapture of the church. So as we go through this, as I do in my DVD, yes, we cover every verse of the entire Bible that is used to teach a rapture, and it is not in Scripture. Nowhere does it teach that people are going to go flying off planet Earth. That's why we took a long time to produce this DVD. No one on the planet has been able to refute it. That's why I'm willing to come onto this program and any other program. Don Preston and I will debate anybody anywhere formally on this issue. It does not exist. This is an oxymoron.
What did you think, Ken Parsons, of the Bible Code?
Oh,
Michael Dresnan's book.
It's like the Creator is just not going to leave any excuses. And not only that, now we're seeing again the guest the other night in your show. I really enjoyed that, the way he was discussing. You know that the atom is only really, I think it's 10-15%. Solid space. What is in the empty space? That's what they're studying, and that there is an energy there. There are other dimensions there. We can prove it. Prove it mathematically. He was talking about how we have to add time as an extra spatial dimension, really, to get all the math to work. It's the only way it does work. We're in four dimensions. And he even talked about the genome and how they use the geometria to actually. Well, it was a long show that night. I can't go into that. But actually, it's a cursory discovery, and it hasn't been investigated to its fullest, so who knows. But it's certainly compelling to see that Yahweh has actually written his name into our genes.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. Not a lot of time left. West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Octavius in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, Octavius.
I just wanted to ask, I guess this question would go to John.
All right.
I wanted to know, what are his thoughts on the pagan revival going on around the world, how people are turning towards pre-Christian faith in frustration with the arguments and the debates over Christianity and so forth. And I wanted his opinion on, where do modern pagans and Wiccans fit into this whole equation? And I'll listen off the air, George. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, John.
Octavius, thank you for the question. It is a very good question, very simply. There's no revival of it. It's been going on. It was going around on in the first century. This is why Israel got in trouble in the first place, was idol worship. Okay. The problem today, and this is the whole point, the reason a lot of people are walking away from, quote, Christianity is because of the nonsense of the Left Behind series and people that are trying to prop up a, quote, theology to support their own personal belief. Well, as I said, get the DVD, check it out for yourself. It is simply not taught in the Scripture. There is a revival today from the standpoint that people are honest, sincere seekers are looking for truth, but this dispensational Escobabel fairy tale that has been purported, it's no wonder people are walking away, because it is laughable. The entire Left Behind series is fiction, yes, that's where it should be, on the fiction series. Jerry Jenkins' favorite author, Stephen King, it's no wonder, okay? It has nothing to do with any point of reality in Scripture.
East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast.
This is Chris from Birmingham.
Sure, Chris.
I had a question, I guess, for Mr. Parsons.
All right. It's for you, Kenny.
Thank you.
In the Bible, I believe there are two people who did not die a physical death that God called up to heaven. And it was my understanding that I was taught when I was in church regularly, but that they were supposed to reappear in Israel and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Israel, to the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And that was what was supposed to signify when they die. They lay in the city for 3 days, and then they are raised by God, which is and then killed by the Antichrist, and that's supposed to be one of the final events that signifies to everybody the rapture is actually there is a rapture. I believe technology or something is supposed to be able to cover the whole event, so everyone can watch it on TV as it happens. That's what really signifies to me, I believe, maybe you have a different opinion, that that's what the rapture is actually going to be, like a covered event on TV.
Well, apparently it might look like magic to us, you know, but it's really a technology. Our bodies are just technology. It's like 3,000 years from now, what would a car be like? It's just biological. It's just a higher technology. But also, what we see is, and I know what you're saying, there's two prophets during the tribulation that will show up in Jerusalem. They will, once they are killed, they'll lay there for 3 days, and the entire world will look at their bodies. We saw that with the Pope for the first time, the largest funeral in history. Everybody watching this papal funeral at one time over the Internet, live cameras and everything else. Then, miraculously, they will rise, and they'll go up in the air. And also in what you're talking about is it's destined for every man to die once and then the judgment. And we also see it looks like Enoch, he walked with God, then he was with no more. Elijah, a flaming chariot came down and separated him from Elisha. Then Elijah went up in a whirlwind. So we have two people that did not die. That is my presumption. And again, I know my pastor believes that it might be Moses, and he has an argument. We have, you know, we agree to disagree on some things, but it looks to me like that's who would come back because they have not died yet. And the really fun thing to think about is if they were taken immediately from when they were to that tribulation period, that final tribulation, the 7-year great tribulation. In other words, as though they to them, it was, you know, back then, you know, thousands of years ago. But all of a sudden, when they went up, they came back down. To them, it might have been like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later. Time, again, in itself, is just a fascinating, fascinating study, the different timelines that are possible.
Time for one or two more. Wildcard Line, you're up. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Roger in Nebraska.
Oh, hi, Roger. Go ahead.
I'd like to hear a response, actually, from both of your guests.
Might not have time for both, so pick one.
Okay, John.
Okay.
John, this question pertains to evolution. Could you please give me your opinion on the theory of man evolving from apes? And I'll listen on the air, George.
Okay.
Oh, it's the typical from the goo to the zoo to you. No shape, form, or fashion. You see, there's no cross species anywhere. There's not one form that has ever been found that could be called a transitional form. Sorry, this is something that another hoax that has been fostered on society. Anything that has a design automatically denotes that there is a designer. No, I do not hold to evolution in any shape, form, or fashion. Man was created in the image of God. But unfortunately, what we've done is create the God of the dispensational world in the image of man, who's very fallible. God keeps his word. Time, he communicates in a logic, systematic order. He's not the author of confusion. Man is.
All right, let us just call it tonight. And as we review, first of all, I want to get your reaction. We fast-blasted. The poll came in. 54% of you felt that Ken and his side was the more accurate, 46% John Anderson. Your reaction to that, John?
Well, once again, this is a theological debate. The only thing that can really be debated is the theological aspects. We never got around to getting the issues answered. However, but here's the simple point. When it comes to ideas and feelings, we all have them, and they're all different. But what does the Bible actually teach? Are we willing to be wrong and let God's word be truth? That should be the bottom line. This is an emotional issue, George.
Oh, obviously. Absolutely, yes.
People are emotional on both sides. But the bottom line is this. I did not always believe what I believe, but I believe it now because I have systematically studied it out for myself.
not because someone told me, but because I have taken the time, and as a talk show host on The Voice of Reason Live, I bring on people like Don Preston, who authored the book we're giving away called Can God Tell Time, John Noe. We bring on others that are actually thinking human beings, Brian McLaren, Hank Hentograph, so on and so forth, to say, what does the Scriptures actually teach? Because this is a theological issue, but the problem is this, George, that the wrong theology or the wrong eschatology or study of last things determines your outlook on life and the way of the world, and that's the problem we have today, sir.
John Anderson, thank you for being on the program, and you, Ken Parsons, thank you as well.
Thank you. Everyone's a winner on Coast to Coast.
Well, that's absolutely true. We're going to wrap it up now. Tomorrow, of course, will be our Friday into Saturday night open line, so make sure you're part of that program.